Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, we just finished 5 chapters of Matthew.
We did!
And generally, in our podcasting realm of things that we do...
Our history.
The past thing there that we did.
The past.
Yeah.
Our history.
That would mean that we are doing a...
Q&A. Not on Saturday, which we used to do a long time ago, but now we just do them whenever they fall.
We are recording it on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if we get it done soon enough, it could be a Q&A Saturday.
That is true. Might be Saturday. That kind of gets into a topic real quick here that I wanted to bring up. Okay, so this Q&A is not over chapters 1-5, even though that's the 5 that we read.
Right.
Because I was a bit overwhelmed because Jesus did a jump scare. And he threw so much shit at me. And I was like, what the fuck? There was so much. And I was like, hang on. And so I'm only doing the Q&A over chapter 1. And then toward that end, I will be doing a Q&A not every 5 chapters, but every few chapters.
So we've got a few Q&A makeups to do now, too.
Just 2 before we're back on,
right.
Like this one, and then I'll do another Q&A that's over chapters 2-4.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do 5 yet because chapter 5 is actually part of a larger group. And knowing that made me kind of look ahead a little bit, which I didn't do at all in the Old Testament because I wanted to come at this not knowing.
Sure.
But Jesus is making me slow down and look ahead a little bit.
Fucking Jesus.
I know. Jesus is making me be a bit more organized and methodical because he has a lot of shit to say. And I don't want to miss a word of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to hear everything Jesus has to tell me.
Right.
I want to open my heart and let that fucker in. Okay? And so... the Sermon on the Mount started in chapter 5.
But doesn't end
but
there.
Doesn't end until chapter 7.
Sure.
And that's when we'll do another Q&A.
Right.
And then I'll kind of keep you posted. I have a whole schedule here, which I
So basically a new Testament and new Sacrilegious Discourse format.
Who dis?
Sectus.
Nice. Yeah. Well done. You pulled that out.
I did. So again, you said we're going over chapter 1 today.
Just chapter 1. And okay. There, I mean, I printed like 4 pages worth of information.
Yeah. Wife was going to turn, if we were doing the whole fucking thing, it was going to be like a,
if we were doing 5 chapters,
epic, like 5-hour long episode, I think.
Well, and it would have stopped at a really stupid place.
And it would, yeah, cuz it wouldn't have been, it would have been part
in
of the
middle
way through
of the sermon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and we wouldn't have got all the bumper sticker sayings.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about this. And this gives me a little more confidence to go into chapters 2-4 to answer questions better.
Okay.
All right.
So today we're doing a Q&A over chapter 1 of Matthew.
Yes, that is correct. Little Maddie, chapter 1 gets his own little Q&A.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are going to hop right into Little Maddie.
Okay.
And he starts out immediately with like, boom, Jesus.
Boom.
And that kind of freaked my shit out. I'm being honest here. I was not expecting, like, I thought there would be some buildup. And there wasn't. He just came out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. No, he got right in there.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. I need to talk about what, like, whoa, Jesus, what's a Jesus? And who's a Matthew talking about a Jesus?
Right.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this is a whole new thing.
It's,
right.
And it's scary.
A new Testament. It's a New Testament.
It is a New Testament. And it's scary to me.
And they're testamenting.
They are. And I want to do it justice. Like, I want all my questions answered.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are many indications based on the way that Matthew wrote that he expected that his readers would be very familiar with Jewish culture because guess sure. what? He was
Jewish.
Fucking Jewish.
Right.
Yeah. So he started his.
Wait, hold on. Even Jesus.
Even Jesus is Jewish. Was Jewish.
Just want to make sure. Yeah. All clear on that.
His parental units are Jewish.
Yep. Yep.
As of the moment that he's born, the God Yahweh is Jewish.
Right.
It's a Jewish God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we haven't strayed yet into any kind of Christianity or anything like
right,
that.
Right. Right.
Like, yeah. We're very Jewish right now. Okay. There's lots of different Jewish sects floating around in this time period.
Sure.
This is post-Babylonian exile, so all the Jews are scattered hither and yon, and everybody has their own ideas about what's happening and what should happen. There's a great expectation that there will be a Messiah coming because that was hinted at, and that's the only thing that could bring all the scattered Jews back together.
Got it.
And so they're like, okay, any minute now. And they're like looking at their watch that hasn't been invented yet. And they're like, okay. So that's where Jesus is born into this expectation that there's something's going to happen any minute now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So Matthew is like, okay, so there was this guy named Jesus who was born. And everybody's like, what? He starts off, he's like talking to a Jewish audience, and in order to like prove the story of like how true it is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He starts his genealogy, like, let me tell you about Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about this guy named Jesus, and he's the Messiah, but in order to prove that, I need to tell you his genealogy, and he does that right off the bat.
Sure.
Okay? And he's like, y'all know Abraham.
Right.
And, like, it's a Jewish audience, so they're like, yeah. And they're like, get this. Jesus came from Abraham. And they're like, what? That doesn't, what? And so he, like, goes on this, like, several verses, and he's like, begat, 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 begat.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And they're, like, immediately, me and you are like, hold on.
Yeah.
We have questions.
Yeah.
And I have charts.
My understanding is that it's flawed from the get-go because...
It is.
It's... based on Joseph.
It is.
And that's problematic.
That is problematic because Joseph is not his bio daddy.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay, I'm going to get there in a second.
Sure, sure, sure.
Let me talk more about just Matthew addressing this Jewish audience, okay? So, first of all, he states his theme. He's like, Jesus is the Messiah, and here's how come I can say that. He is descended from Abraham. Y'all know Abraham.
Yeah.
Okay. He frequently refers to Jesus as the son of David. So he's like, son of David, Abraham, Abraham. So he's like doing lots of qualifiers and like common knowledge language.
Yeah.
To like hammer home who this guy is and that he's for real.
We talked about this in the Old Testament, but because we knew that David was going to become this big thing, right? Like mm-hmm. as far as how... they reference him versus Jesus and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But David is very problematic.
David is so fucking problematic.
Like, okay, I think that a lot of Christians that read the Bible...
they don't know how bad he was.
They don't know how problematic he is.
He was so bad. He was a horrible human being.
Right.
He was very bad. He was not somebody that you want to bring home to meet your mom.
He had somebody fucking killed to cover up the affair he had with his wife.
He
like that's not
had
good. That's not good.
So many different wives and concubines and things. He was not good, you right. guys. He was not a good person. He was not a good representative of.
But he is the best naked dancing person in the Bible.
He does
Because he's the only one I know of.
Ding dong
naked in the Bible.
Yeah, he is all about it.
Sorry, I just had to point that out since we're talking about the line of David. So.
No, it's so true. And everybody's like, I mean, David. You know, David. Mm-hmm. David.
Well, there's even that movie out now. David.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's like, maybe you should read the Bible because I read it and David is not good. He's not this good guy.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of Christians know that.
Yeah.
So to get back to Matthew addressing a Jewish audience, he's like, Abraham, son of David, you know, all the good Jewish words, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, he uses the Jewish phrase kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God.
I'm to understand we're going to hear that a lot.
We are going to hear that so fucking much.
Yeah.
Because he's using propaganda and he's using where you say a word over and over and over again to lend it truth, truthiness.
Yeah.
I forget what that's called, but it's like where you just, you say, the more that you say it, the more true it must be because you've said it 100 billion times.
Right. I mean, Trump does the same
thing. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, this was like in the pre-Trump days and Matthew was bringing it home. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Gospel of Matthew begins with the words, the book of genealogy, which in Greek would be the Genesis. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first book
of the Bible, of Old Testament.
The Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. Yeah. So it's the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ or the Genesis of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And let us not forget that this book, the first several, well, Matthew in particular, is supposed to mirror the first five books of the Hebrew Bible.
Right, the Pentateuch.
The Pentateuch.
Right.
So that it, you know, brings home that this is for realsies.
Right.
Okay, and we're going to see a lot more reminders of that. Okay, they are really trying to sell this.
Well, they're really trying to sell a lot of things, but yeah.
But you got to get a hook in before you can get the rest of the message down the people's throats. You got to make them believe that whatever else you're about to say is true. They got to believe that you are true.
I even believe that these people believed what they were pitching. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't necessarily.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But I don't, I wouldn't say that they didn't necessarily. You know what? No, I don't know if I believe that. Because they're shoving shit so hard.
Yeah.
They're trying so hard to make it work.
It's such sales. It's such propaganda. I cannot even with it.
Yeah.
Okay. He deliberately echoes the words of Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 4 in the book of the Genesis of, like, he is specifically saying things to be like, this is so for real.
Right.
I'm being so for real with you right now.
Yeah.
And his audience is like, oh, well, you said you said so many Jewish buzzwords. You must be telling the truth, right? So some modern theories about the Gospel of Matthew indicate that he wrote in the style of Jewish Midrash literature.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if you recall, we talked a lot about that as we went through the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Where it was more story-driven and less based in historical fact.
Sure.
It was more on feelings and how to make a story sound good and to be remembered.
Right.
And it didn't have to have truthiness or facts in it.
Right.
And so if he was writing like this, he would not have expected to have been believed as factual.
Interesting.
Yes. I found that interesting also. And again, let us not forget, Matthew was a Jewish person teaching.
Right.
So it would not have been impossible to believe that he was writing hyperbolically.
Sure.
As many Midrash writers did.
Right. Well, and this wasn't actually Matthew writing this, right? This
Correct. Was
somebody else later on.
Correct.
Essentially.
So, when he writes, he creates imagery stories as a running commentary on the Old Testament. Okay. So he's like, you know, doing things in the same pattern that Midrash writers did.
Okay.
Some writers use the Midrash writer, or I'm sorry, some writers use the Midrash example to say that Matthew wrote about many events that never actually happened, but they didn't say he was lying. Like we would say, oh my God, you're lying. But they wouldn't say he was lying at the time because he never intended to tell the truth. It wasn't about telling the truth. It was fanfic
for Judaism, essentially.
And his audience never believed that the stories were real, necessarily.
Right, and it could have been more of a mind exercise in what if we did have a...
like philosophy. Jesus,
you know, a fucking guy that was born son of God. What would that look like?
And how would we behave? And how would that go? And
right.
What kind of things would happen to him?
Because there is one thing that Judaism does really well, and that's to analyze and question their own beliefs a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, to some degree.
That's what the Midrash was all about. And right. All the Midrash writers, they were grappling with faith and how to live it in their daily lives, what it meant back then. Versus what it meant to them now.
Yeah.
And they still do that to this day.
Right.
So it's one of the things I admire most about the Jewish faith is that it's very conversational. It's a continuing dialogue.
What's that book that you keep telling me about that basically is a continuation of Hermione and their relationship? That's now called something else or whatever.
Okay, so there was a fanfic called Manacled that was about Hermione and Draco Malfoy.
Yeah.
And then Manacled gained so much popularity on fanfic boards that it got picked up and was rewritten and edited and then came out as a traditionally published book called Alchemized.
Yeah. So it would be like if Alchemized became what was known as the Harry Potter world as opposed to Harry Potter.
It's true. That is true.
I mean, that's essentially Christianity, right?
Right. And it's just the same enough to be swallowed, but also just different enough to be new and exciting.
Right.
And yeah, that's a great analogy. Okay.
I threw it out there because I knew you'd be excited about it. So,
you know. Well, excited. I don't know if that's the right.
Somebody was excited about it.
Knowledgeable on the topic. I don't know if excited is.
Anyway. But it's an apt description of what happened.
No, it's so true. So, okay. That place is Matthew. Okay. He's talking to a Jewish audience saying some Jewish shit.
Sure.
That is like, totally believe me. And they're like, okay, maybe. But he's also like, maybe don't believe me. But like, I have a story to tell. And they're like, okay, we're listening. Sounds cool.
Sure.
Go on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we start the book. Okay. The genealogy of Jesus motherfucking Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Which I also want to point out that at one point, the line of David died off completely.
No, it totally did.
In the Old Testament.
No, it totally did.
There's multiple problematic things here.
Look, I have two separate charts here that I'm about to get into.
Okay.
Because I was like, hold on. Okay. So as Matthew tells it, the genealogy of Christ is divided into three classes of 14 generations each. The first 14 are Abraham to David. The second 14 are from Solomon to Jeconias, and the third 14 are from Jeconias to Christ. There's so many fucking problems here.
Okay. Yeah.
So Matthew presents his theme in his first sentence. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy and of Israel's expectations. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Whoa! And that, I mean, that was a total fucking jump scare. I cannot state this enough.
Yeah,
I did not know that that's how the New Testament began.
That's the shorthand of telling him he goes all the way back, guys.
Yeah.
When exactly. In reality, most of y'all probably do.
I mean,
I'm just saying, the way
we all go back.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back enough generations, we're all fucking related.
No, it's so true. So let me tell you a couple things. Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means salvation or the Lord saves.
Okay.
It was a fucking common ass name back then.
Sure.
Okay. And Messiah is the Hebrew and Christ is the Greek. Both of those words mean anointed one.
Ah.
Okay. So we've got salvation, Lord saves, Messiah, Christ, anointed one.
Mm,
like, he's so fucking holy.
Yeah.
Okay. So So then we get Jesus's genealogy through Joseph, and it is there's so many. It begat.
Right.
And I went back and I re-listened to our episode, which I don't typically do, but y'all, I wanted to make sure I got all our questions.
Right.
I mean, we
had a lot.
I'm doing this right, okay?
And more than that, like, we have a good basis to like start reading the New Testament now, mm-hmm. because we read the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And we've got questions.
Yeah. And I even said, as we were going through all the begats, this is giving Leviticus.
Right.
And I am so proud of myself for saying that, because it's true. It is giving Leviticus. So this genealogy establishes Jesus's claim to the throne of David through his adopted father, Joseph. This is not the blood lineage of Jesus through Mary. This is the legal lineage of Jesus through Joseph. Mm. And we don't know this yet because we haven't got there yet. But apparently it is suggested that the Gospel of Luke is going to provide Jesus's blood lineage through Mary.
Oh.
But I don't know how that's going to work. We'll get
there. So Joseph and Mary are cousins or something? Or
probably. Probably. They all kinds of cousin fuckers in the Bible. All right. Here's the thing. So, like, we've got an Old Testament lineage that I printed off, and it goes from Adam through King David.
Okay. All right.
And so Genesis chapter 5 talks about Adam to Noah. Okay?
Sure.
And I can name all those off if you want, but...
Nah. It's all right.
There's no point. We've read it. We've all been there.
Yeah, go back and listen to it. We did the begats, so.
Exactly. Now, Genesis chapters 10 through 11 talk about Noah all the way down to Abraham.
Okay.
Yep. And this is where it starts being like, okay, I'm listening.
Sure.
You've got to pay attention here, From Abraham on is when we got questions.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's where Matthew starts. Matthew starts at Abraham.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I mean, you can just give us the highlights here. You know, that would probably...
I'm going to. I want to cite my sources, too.
Okay? Yeah.
So, Genesis chapters 25 and then chapters 29 through 35 cover Abraham to Jacob and Judah.
Okay?
And Matthew agrees with that part.
Okay. Yeah.
The book of Ruth covers Judah all the way down through David. Okay. And for the most part, Matthew agrees.
For the most part. Okay. Yeah.
Now, then we get a bunch of places. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah.
Okay.
In all of those books, and I have the chapters if anybody's curious.
Yeah.
That's where we get the Davidic line after David.
Okay.
David through Joachim. Sure. And it's very important that we pronounce that M on the end of that, because that dude is one of the several missing from Matthew.
Oh.
Okay. So, now, if we're counting David all the way down to Joachim,
yeah,
there's 17.
Okay.
That's not 14. Okay. There's also three other dudes besides the Joachim missing from Matthew.
Okay.
He totally skips from Joram to Uzziah. He skips right over Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Maybe he just had a brain lapse. You know, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but if you take 17 minus those three in the middle, then you get 14, right?
Right.
Except that he's also missing Joachim. Now, here's the thing. Okay. I'm sorry. This is both exciting and confusing.
Sure.
So the first Davidic king descendant is clearly taken into the Babylonian, that was clearly taken into Babylonian captivity, mm-hmm. was Jeconiah.
Okay.
And he came right after Joachim.
Got it.
So this is generally considered the place where the Babylonian exile starts in the Davidic line.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, so then we got Jeconiah, who's also known as Joachin and Coniah, depending on the Hebrew or the Babylonian or the whatever.
Sure.
But we know him as Jeconiah.
Okay.
Okay. And then Shealtiel and then Zerubbabel.
Okay.
Okay. And then after that, shit starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
After Zerubbabel, it's about done.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I distinctly, like I said, remember it ended. Yeah. Like the David line ended.
Well, okay. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, after Zerubbabel, the genealogy becomes less historically anchored and way more obscure. These figures survive mainly as names, preserving the continuation of the Davidic bloodline after the monarchy collapsed. So they don't get stories or anything. They're merely mentioned.
Okay.
Like, and then remember that one guy? And we're like, no. So there
we just have to take people's word at it.
There are names, but we never really learned anything about them.
Okay.
Okay. They were mentioned. But by the end of the Old Testament, the line of David still exists biologically, but the throne itself is gone, and so it might as well not.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Now, to get into Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew traces the line from Abraham down to Jesus through Joseph, emphasizing the royal line of David. But as I said, he's got some wonky numbers going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we go from Abraham to David, that's 14. Perfect. Wonderful. Sure. That matches up and it's 14 and your math is beautiful and your history is great. And sure, I'll believe you.
Sure.
Okay. The problem is when we go then from David to Jeconiah, the numbers don't work. And that's because he's missing three. And he had to take the three out to make it work, which was common back then because they'd often say, so-and-so, the son of such-and-such. And when they say son, they meant descendant of, not specific son of.
Yeah.
So it's weird to us because we're looking at this as a historical document that we need to trust and we want accuracy.
Sure.
Since this is claimed to be the motherfucking word of God and we're supposed to trust it, we're like, we want the facts, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I think that's fair of us. But also, to be fair to the writer, he was just a Jewish writer back in the day who had no fucking idea that he should have been more historical and less midrashic.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
So I'm to be fair to both ends the telephone game.
I got you.
Okay? So a lot of times people will say, okay, we took those three out and that leaves us but only 13 unless you list David again because Matthew says from Abraham to David is 14 and then from David to the exile is 14.
Ah, okay.
But if you use that example, but then he goes and from the exile to Jesus is 14. So by that same example, you'd have to use the Jeconiah guy twice, right? Once on each end,
right? Yeah.
But you don't. And the math never works. And he entirely leaves out the Joachim guy.
Right.
And it doesn't work. The math ain't mathing.
Okay. All right.
So I was very frustrated. This sent my brain. I was very frustrated.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I told you the three guys that he leaves out. He also likely left out many others, but we don't get to complain because they were left out of the Old Testament altogether as well.
Okay.
So, but there's probably a lot of other people missing.
Sure.
From both the Old Testament as well as Matthew later on.
Right.
Okay. The structure appears intentional and literary, not archival. So like the 14. Right.
Yeah.
He skips kings and he tries to create this pattern intentionally and calls it out as I'm trying to make this a pattern, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Most scholars think, and our question was why?
Yeah.
Why? Most scholars think Matthew chose the number 14. Remember, they were like so big on numbers.
Yeah, and seven's a big one.
Seven's a big one. This is multiples of seven. That's so exciting for them. The Hebrew spelling of David's name lent itself to the number 14. Oh. Like the D is a four. The V would have been a double V.
Okay.
And that would have been six. And then D again, because remember, they didn't do vowels.
Sure.
So the D again would be four. So we've got 4, 6, 4, right? That's a total of 14. So a lot of scholars are like, so this genealogy is basically shouting, David, David, David.
Got it.
Rah, rah, rah.
Okay.
Hey, it's David. Who is it? It's David. This is so David.
And they weren't you just guys. Trying. They were trying real fucking hard.
It was sickening how hard they were trying.
Right,
and everybody bought it because it was very exciting. It was very exciting.
I mean, you have a God that kills a lot of people all the time.
Yeah.
Including his own people.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds so much better.
I mean,
just if you're Jewish.
We're not even
like,
there yet.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you're pitching something different than that guy.
Yeah.
But still kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What do you got
then? What are you selling? Yeah, what story you got?
Right.
Yeah. So this structure, this 14 structure, it emphasizes Jesus as the son of David, the royal heir, and the fulfillment of the messianic expectation without having to mess up that whole, yeah, but remember when God cursed that whole line and said, no, it'll never happen?
Yeah.
So the question is, was Matthew wrong?
Sure.
I mean.
Or was God wrong?
Right. That's what I would say. Because as far as like the question, was Matthew wrong? I don't think that's a fair question because it really does depend on what standard you use. I'm trying to be really fair to this guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matthew seems more interested in theological symbolism than precision bookkeeping.
Sure.
And that is very much to his own detriment. And to our detriment, historically speaking, centuries later, when we're just trying to figure shit out.
But is it really to his detriment? Because he's persisted as a religion.
Fair.
Like, this book is the beginning of.
But who knows if that was.
Of Christianity,
who knows if that was actually his intention, though?
No, I'm not saying it was intention. I'm just saying that it doesn't feel like it was detrimental. It feels like it worked.
Yeah, but detrimental to. If that's not what he intended, it was definitely to his detriment, you know?
Right. But the problem at this point, because of so many years of indoctrination of a religion.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But
it doesn't matter what
he intended. You can't rationalize someone who is so ingrained in Christianity out of their Christianity.
No, it's so true.
That doesn't work. They have to decide. They want to find these things out on their own, you know, and figure out what they believe based on the things that they find out. So,
yeah,
but it is very interesting understanding how this religion persists through our society right now, how flimsy of shit right? it is based on.
Which, I mean, one could say that things don't ever change because think about what's happening in our government right now based on such flimsy nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people are eating it up.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Everything is smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, I think that's how you get ahead is you have your dry ice and you have mirrors and you make it happen.
I mean, it's not a bad plan. It worked out for a lot of them and it's working out for a lot of them even now. So.
Right, yeah.
And it's the same people selling the same fucking story. So, you know, grifter's gonna grift. What you gonna do?
True.
So, the Joachim guy I told you, he was the one that was between Josiah and Jeconiah. And he was the one that was so wicked that through the prophet Jeremiah, which I have that passage.
Yeah.
God promised no blood descendant of Jeconiah would sit on the throne of Israel. And that's super important.
It really is.
It's considering. Like the crux of everything.
Right.
So I'm just going to read those two verses from Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 30 and 31.
Okay.
Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Joachim, king of Judah. He will have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish him and his children and his attendants for their wickedness. I will bring on them and those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them because they have not listened.
Wow.
Yeah. He went on to say that he was going to wipe them the fuck off the planet and that no blood of his would sit on that throne ever fucking again.
That's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
It's like that they, God that's basically said. That's from
Jeremiah.
Said, nope. Bye, David.
Yeah.
Bye, David line.
Yeah. So.
And at the time I said, I think this is problematic.
Yeah, you did. You did. So that's like, okay, so how is this going to work then?
Right.
And it doesn't actually, but we right. just pretend it did.
Sure, because we like to pretend.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
the world and just make it all fit. Because why not?
Sure.
You just the round peg and the square. The you know it just, you hit it hard enough, it'll go through.
Something. So obviously, this presented a significant problem. If someone was a blood descendant of David through Joachim.
I meant square peg and round hole.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, sorry. My brain went whatever.
So anyway, if someone was a blood descendant of David
yeah.
through that guy, he could not sit on the throne of Israel and be the king and the Messiah because of this whole curse thing. Well,
lucky us, they're doing this through Joseph, so he's not technically a blood descendant.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're still winning.
But if the conqueror is not descended through David, he couldn't be the legal heir of the throne because of the promise made to David and the nature of the royal line.
Man.
So, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 6,
yeah.
Joseph's line went through Solomon, and therefore Joachim, the cursed one,
uh-huh.
and Jesus was only the legal son of Joseph,
yeah.
not the blood son of Joseph.
This is all so convenient.
Curse on Joachim does not impact him.
Wow.
Isn't that lucky?
That's lucky.
Right?
That's lucky how that worked out.
Shit like that never happens to me. Joseph did not contribute any of the quote-unquote blood of Jesus,
yeah.
but he did contribute his legal standing as a descendant of the royal line to Jesus. I don't know if I believe all that, but okay.
Okay, look, if they tie it through Mary at some point, then it would still be blood. But like, that's also really weird.
Mm-hmm.
When we that puts together a whole other set of issues that in my mind,
yeah.
And also, why didn't we just cover it right up front?
Because don't forget that these books are not stapled together in order.
Sure.
And that they're different people writing at different times.
Okay, there's two problems, though. Like, if we do at some point, through Mary,
mm-hmm.
establish a blood line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the Joachim guy, or whatever the hell
the
is
bad
the guy. The bad guy,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be part of that lineage because he has to be, because mm-hmm. he's part of that bloodline. And so it's still problematic.
I think it's one of his brothers or something. One of Joachim's, I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's still problematic.
It's still bad and wrong. Yeah, and
regardless,
good.
Like, you're telling me that Jesus is based on not bloodline, but on legal,
yeah,
on legalese. Like, well, we just etched him into this little thing here, and so he's
crossed a few names.
He's
off
in. He's and, in. Look, yeah. look, we made it connect there. Look, the dots.
And yeah,
they're connecting up to David.
What do you mean it doesn't count? Of course it counts. It's on the wall.
Don't worry about that one over there. Just.
Yeah.
Skip that and go from here to
one.
There and then back over there.
Yeah.
And then you got Jesus, and Jesus is cool. And
yeah.
14.
It counts.
David.
It counts.
David, guys. David.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Christ is conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary when she was espoused to Joseph.
Wait, the Holy Ghost conceived Jesus?
I don't know. We'll see.
Does that mean the dove? Like,
got up in her cooch.
I mean,
listen. This is where we're going next, okay?
Okay.
And then Joseph's anxieties and doubts are removed by the ministry of an angel.
Okay. In his dream, by the way.
By whom the child is named Jesus. I'm giving the update, like the summary, so that then we can talk about
sure,
the questions.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was just the first half of the chapter.
You ever had an angel talk to you in your dreams?
No.
Me either.
Anyway,
yeah.
Then we get the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. We had a question, what prophet? Isaiah was the prophet.
Okay.
I'll tell you when I get
there. All right.
Okay, and then Joseph takes his wife, Mary, home, and then Christ is born. Okay,
yeah.
So that's all what happens in chapter one. But let me just continue. Okay, so Mary, while engaged to Joseph, is found to be with child. Oh, no! Yeah. As a result of a miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit.
I want to know when they came. Did he find out before he knew she was pregnant or after? Because, like, that discussion had to be rough.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. Let's take them at their word, right? Let's take them at their word, and either somehow she was impregnated and it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
He's supposed to have been, Joseph is supposed to have been a good man. And so when he found this out, at the very best case scenario, she was raped.
Right.
Because let's assume she was a good girl and would never.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So best case scenario, she was raped.
Right.
And
well, even if it was God, she was kind of raped.
Yes and
just
no.
Saying.
Yes and no, because not if there was no sex. Yeah. She was merely impregnated. That's not necessarily I don't know. A case could be made. I can't argue that one way or the other.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because somebody can be artificially inseminated, and would we consider that a rape? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, that's okay. Fair. That's fair. I guess.
So, a different discussion for a different day.
Sure.
But best case scenario, he's a good guy, she's a good girl, and they realize that she's pregnant.
I think you could use the term violated.
Okay. I'm trying really hard here, okay? Don't make me hit you. I will punch you in the wiener.
Hmm.
But violated is a good word.
Speaking of which.
Definitely describes
what you just
said. Went down. So, okay, best case scenario, they're both really good people. And he's like, okay, look, I don't know if you were running around on me or if you were run around on.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, we cannot get married now.
Right.
And I don't want to embarrass you. Like, I'm well within my rights. I'm speaking as Joseph right now.
Yeah.
I'm well within my rights to go through, like, divorce shit and say that you cheated and have you stoned to death. I'm a good guy, though. You're a good girl. I'm not going to do that to you. That would suck. Why? Let's just try to just get this whole marriage dissolved. I'll put you away in some kind of, like, nunnery place, and that'll be it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I'm not here to ruin your life.
Sure.
But obviously, we can't get married now.
Right.
So here's the thing. There were essentially three steps to marriage in the Jewish world at Jesus's time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So first came engagement, and that could happen when the bride and groom were babies, even.
Oh,
okay. Because it was often arranged by the parents.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then came betrothal, and that made the previous engagement official and binding. They're basically all but married.
Got it.
They're betrothed. They haven't had the ceremony yet. But they're just about married.
Yeah.
Okay. And during this time, during the time of betrothal, the couple were known as husband and wife, and it could only be broken by divorce, even though they hadn't had a ceremony yet.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Betrothal typically lasted a year. Yeah. And then marriage took place after the wedding, and that's after the year of betrothal.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
I wonder what that purpose served. If it's you're still technically married.
Probably to give the husband a chance to find out if he liked that sweet, sweet pussy or if he wanna trade in. That's my guess. It's a year to play married and see if it works.
Okay.
And then clearly the woman has no say in it, but the husband could be like, this ain't working, I don't like it.
Got it.
That's my guess.
Okay.
And, you know, the parents are the ones that set this up.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of any other. It's got to be financial and ownership.
Right.
Right. Everything is a business.
Sure.
So Joseph is like, again, I don't want to ruin your life. I don't want to stone you to death, which he could very well easily have done.
Right.
The fact that he didn't proves that regardless of what he believed, he was a decent man.
Insofar as?
I mean
we're talking about 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, like, I don't know the circumstances.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that he did not have this poor girl stoned to death.
Sure.
For being pregnant. And for all we know, he's the one that got her pregnant.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you can't just shut that down? But that's what I heard. That's what they said in the Senate. Shit, man.
They said if I just pull out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, an angel speaks to Joseph in a dream, convincing him not to divorce Mary. That was not the angel of the Lord, but simply an angel of the Lord.
Okay.
All okay. Right.
Yeah.
And basically, Mary had not told Joseph that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit because this is the first he's hearing of it.
Right.
So she's like, I have no fucking clue how I got pregnant. And he's like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And he's like, tell me who you fucked. And she's like, but nobody, though.
Right.
And so then when he's like, look, I don't want to talk about this anymore. But clearly we can't get married. I'm not going to kill you or embarrass you, but whatever. Let's sleep on it. He goes to sleep. Angel comes and is like, no, she wasn't lying for realsies, but it was God, though. And he's like, oh, well, I'm so sorry about that. My total bad.
I mean, this whole story sounds so
lame.
Suspect. Like, yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, totally. So he gets up the next morning and he's like, so an angel came to me and told me that you weren't a lying faced whore. And so this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so the angel told Joseph in his dream that they're going to name the baby Jesus.
Okay.
The salvation of Yahweh.
Right.
And that name, as I already said, was super common in the day. The historian Josephus mentions 12 different dudes named Jesus at that time.
Yeah. I've heard that before. Like, there's some question as to, like,
which
even
Jesus?
If we even are talking about the right Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, like, totally.
Because there was a lot of Jesus.
There was a lot of Jesus running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the virgin birth took place as the fulfillment of prophecy. But here's the thing. The word virgin,
yeah.
Let's argue about that a little bit, because there are some translations that point out, hey, so this was written in Greek, remember, and that word that they're using isn't necessarily virgin, it's just young girl, young maid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But then other people are like, no, haven't you seen the other places that that word is used? It always means virgin.
Interesting.
And they're like, but then how do we know that it sometimes means
young girl? Right.
So she may not have been a virgin.
Interesting.
Who even fucking knows?
Interesting.
I don't know. Do you know?
I don't. And moreover, I don't think that there's a single person alive today that could answer that question scientifically.
Huh. Interesting you say that. So verses 22 and 23 read, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And we're like, what prophet?
Yeah.
Specifically, when I listened back, I was like, oh, we did ask that. What prophet?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'll tell you what prophet in just a second.
Right.
Okay. Continues, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay.
Okay.
The prophet, quote unquote.
They named their kid Emmanuel? Mm-hmm. I thought they named him Jesus.
They did. It's all the same thing.
Okay.
It's all variations of Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and all those other things. They all mean God is with us, Yahweh save us, the anointed one.
Okay.
God on earth. It's all the same fucking thing.
Got it.
Okay. It's all those holy words.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
The anointed one.
Sure.
Okay. All right. But the prophet. Who's the prophet?
Right.
I don't know.
Who is he?
Well, apparently he was Isaiah.
Okay.
Way back, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14.
What does it say there?
You want to know?
I do.
Okay, so do I. So I took verses 10 through 16 because I'm not about just mid-sentence.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yeah, let's get the whole context.
Yeah. So again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you, y'all, a sign. The virgin, or young girl, will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. So he's like, there's going to be some guy descended from David that's going to be God, and they're going to name him Emmanuel. So they're like, okay, hear me out. Let's name this baby Emmanuel.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Huh? Like, yeah. That's and not
there's
magic.
There's no real time frame on how long those kings have had to have been laid waste to, I guess.
Right.
Technically.
Right.
But that's some bullshit. Because, like...
Do you think that fulfilled that prophecy?
No.
I was doing
didn't.
Such big quote fingers yeah, just
no,
there.
Like that, the fact that they're bringing up the kings, like, during Isaiah and stuff, that...
Yeah.
It's referring to things that are happening then. And we talked about things like this back in the Old Testament, where that reference... is so obviously not
right
in any way tied to Jesus,
right?
Because it's just not, it has nothing to do with that time frame in mm-hmm. context. Like, it doesn't, it just doesn't, because we're talking about other things at that point. Like, mm-hmm. we went back and read that whole chapter,
mm-hmm.
it would be talking about, I don't recall off the top of my head, but it would be talking about other kings and other things
stuff
like that.
Stuff that was going on
right.
in the time Isaiah.
I do remember that,
mm-hmm.
and so, like,
yeah,
that makes no sense in context,
right.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's annoying.
It really
is. Yeah, we are anti this being a fulfilled prophecy. And I have a feeling that we're going to get a lot of this
right.
throughout the rest of this fucking book.
I have a feeling you're right.
Which, you know, means that I will be very excited and argumentative.
So even the New Testament, like, we make fun of, like, Christians cherry picking what they want out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But even the New Testament cherry-picked out of the Old Testament.
Yes.
Like, there's been cherry-picking all along.
And, I mean, the Old Testament was cherry-picking from the pagans.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's cherry-picking all the way down.
Yeah. Cherry-picking all the way down, just like the turtles. So then Joseph's like, yeah, okay, totally, we're going to have this baby and name it Jesus, Emmanuel,
sure. whatever.
Christy, Doodle,
yeah.
whatever.
Okay,
yes.
Son of God.
This sounds great, mm-hmm. anointed one.
Right.
Yeah. So he marries Mary after the angelic announcement.
Sure.
Okay. This is just a little interesting tidbit here on the end that I thought you might find interesting.
Yeah.
Verse 25 says, but he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to a son. So there's two things here. Okay.
Yeah.
There's two things.
Okay.
One is he totally never fucked her until after she gave birth, which,
right.
okay, whatever.
Right.
I don't know if I believe you. It's not even important. Whatever.
Actually, that is kind of important, because technically I think they aren't legally bound, legally married, until they consummate the marriage.
Right.
Which, if Jesus was born before they were legally
exactly.
married,
exactly,
then the legality of the David line doesn't work.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No.
Okay.
You are 100% right. And that is part of why that's interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
As you were sitting, like, I knew you were getting yep. to something, but, like, it occurred to me sitting there, I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because...
But that's not the only thing.
Okay.
That is interesting on a Christianity level.
Right.
But on a, like, really hardcore Catholic level...
Sure.
Catholics like to claim that Mary is the perpetual virgin. She never had sex ever.
But it says,
this verse specifically says they did consummate their fucking marriage. He fucked that girl.
Right.
As soon as she gave birth, probably.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, thank God. And so that whole Mary's a saint and she's the perpetual virgin and all that, Catholics got that one wrong.
Yeah.
According to the Bible.
Sure.
Okay. That
Again,
one I can specifically say.
I'm sure they have their own ways of explaining that, but...
Oh, I'm sure they do, but I'm just reading the words, and they...
Yeah, according to the words, they're wrong, but what are words?
I don't know what their mood is, I don't know what the vibe is, but the words...
What does real mean?
And here's the other thing. There's no reason to believe that they didn't go on to have other children, because in specific places, it refers to Jesus as her firstborn.
Oh, okay.
Meaning...
There would have been more.
Well, not just that, but meaning that he was the one who bore the birthright.
Yeah.
You know, as the firstborn, he took the birthright, but there would have been others to follow.
Sure.
So that one I'm less convinced happened. I think probably, of course, why wouldn't they have had more kids?
Right.
But there's nothing that specifically says, yes, they had more kids.
Right.
But there's no reason to believe that they wouldn't.
They pop out the Son of God. They
definitely had sex.
Okay.
After Jesus, at the very least.
But Mary and Joseph, or well, Mary pops out the Son of Jesus, and Mary and Joseph are just kind of like sidelined for the rest of the New Testament.
I have no idea. I haven't read any more yet.
Well, they certainly don't talk about other children that they have.
Right. So. That is true. So that is everything that I brought to the table for chapter one of Matthew.
Well, that was almost an hour long episode.
So can you see why I was freaking out?
Yeah.
Because I came to you and I was like, so about the Q&A.
Right.
And I was like, there's way too much with just chapter one to cover chapters 1 through 5.
Right.
I think that chapters 2 through 4, we should be okay cramming 3 chapters, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
I think that should be okay.
Well, and I have to admit, I was a little concerned that you were overstuffing, but I was actually intrigued by a lot of that stuff. So that was a good episode.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So. I'm like, I knew I had good info to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, you just wait. It's going to be some hot goss, some juicy tidbits of knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, it's Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I found, well, no, I mean, we did kind of.
He's on page one.
Yeah. But you've been referring to Jesus as Robert Downey Jesus.
I have been. Yeah.
And on our Discord, I found this in Reddit, and I found a picture of Robert Downey Jesus.
Oh my God.
So somebody shared it like 11 years ago.
That's amazing. And
so there's a picture on the main general chat of Robert Downey Jesus. I should share that in Patreon as well.
So. I love that so much for us. Because RDJ, because he's right. Going around picking up fishermen.
Yeah.
And we're like, why are they just like dropping everything? Right. He must be like some kind of, you know, Robert Downey Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our Q&A for Matthew chapter 1.
Sure as fuck was.
And we will be back next time with another
Q&A over chapters 2 through 4.
Okay. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.